because we're going to talk about from the cross to the crown. And we talked about leading up to the cross and what a mess it was where Jesus was. Remember, he was a mess. He'd prayed till his sweat became his great drops of blood in the garden, and how he wrestled in prayer, and God gave him the strength and peace to go through because he prayed until he received the answer. And I'm telling you, the church, that's key, is for us to pray until we receive the answer. Don't get up from the altar, even if you've got to go back a few days, a few weeks, until you get the answer that God has for you, and then we can walk through these things in peace and the power of God. I believe this. I believe that someday we're all going to receive a crown that is given to us by our Lord and Savior. And in fact, the Bible says in Revelations 4, in verses 10 and 11, it talks about 24 elders when John is really transformed into heaven. How many remembers the old Star Trek movies where they're standing there on this little circle and they say, "Beam me up, Scotty," and all of a sudden they're dematerialized and they appear somewhere else. That's kind of what happened to John in the book of Revelation, and he's seeing heaven, and he says he sees 24 elders, and they have these gold crowns on their head. And when they take these crowns at one point, and they cast their crowns, the Bible said, at the throne, and they begin worshiping God and saying, you know, you made us for your pleasure, and worship him and know that everything they have and everything they hope to become is because of what God has put in them and given to them. And so I believe, it doesn't say we will have a crown with these elders and get to cast them at that time, but I think, you know, knowing our Heavenly Father, that maybe right after that, we'll get to take ours off and cast them at the crown, at the throne of the feet of God. And wouldn't that be an awesome time to know that you have a great crown to cast at his feet? And the reason we get a crown is because of the things that we have done here in the name of Jesus Christ, the things that God has commanded us to do. And the Bible talks about when we stand before God, there's going to be, it's almost like a big video, and the things that we've done in vain and for own pleasure that, you know, that, I'm not talking about having fun. I believe God wants us to have fun, and he took his guys aside and put them in the garden, and he went fishing with them, and so that's all well and good, but the things that we've just heaped upon ourselves and the selfish things we've done, it says when they're tried in the fire at judgment, will burn up. And the things that have been for the cause of Christ, the things that we've done in obedience to him, they'll go through the fire and will receive a reward. And so Paul makes reference to that in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, in verse 5. He says this, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And so there is an enduring time that God says, I won't deliver you from this, but I'll deliver you through this, just like he did with the cross. Sometimes we have to endure afflictions, and but God said, I'm right in the center of this. Don't worry. You know, endure this one. And he says this, "I'm already being poured out." And as a drink offering, Paul's telling this. He says, "In the time of my departure's hand, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And then he makes this statement. He says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." And then he says, "Not to me only, but also to all." Everybody say all. All who have loved his appearing, who are looking for Jesus to come back and rescue them. That is me and you. That's the ones. And so there's a crown of righteousness, he says, is prepared for us. And so I just want you to know, you can have the crown, but in order to keep the crown, you've got to have the cross. He teaches us to take up our cross daily and follow him, to die to self, and we'll find life. We'll find that crown. And so you can't have the cross or the crown without the cross. Make sense? And so I want to share with you really two key things that God gave me. And I thought this was huge in my book. It really, and this was this. Remember the first key that Jesus used last week as we looked at it? And the key was this. He said, "Listen, guys, you better pray, because if you don't pray, you're going to what? Fall into temptation. You're going to give way." And I think he's still saying that to us today. You can pray or you can fall to temptation. You choose. You can pray and have an active prayer life and seeking the face of God and His will, or you can fall to temptation. Whatever that temptation may be. It might be a temptation to lie to keep yourself out of trouble. Anybody ever told a lie to cover yourself? Yeah, most of us have. The rest of you liars, you can come to the altar and repent after service is over. Yeah, we've all done that at times. I mean, it's just in us. You know, when you're little bitty, your kid grabs something, a two-year-old. Mine! You know, where'd you get that? Did you get that out of your friend's room? No, it's mine! You know, knowing it's a lie. But that's that selfish inner man that we have to war against. And so there's tempting times coming. And he said the key for that is to pray. Is to pray. Now, and here's the statement that he gave me, and I want to give you this. We can, when we're going through very trying times, we've got two options. We can breeze through prayer and wrestle with the problem, or we can wrestle in prayer and breeze through the problem. Let that sink in just a minute. In going through very trying times, we can either breeze through prayer, just a little, oh God help me prayer, and go on about our day and wrestle with the problem, or we can wrestle in prayer. That's where Jesus wrestled. Remember, His sweat is like great drops of blood. He came three times to His disciples saying, can you not watch with me? I'm in agony here. I'm stressing out. Can you not help me? And they didn't, but He prayed all night. But he's praying until an answer comes. And He said, it is enough. He got the answer. God's not going to deliver this cup from me. But He did all this wrestling in prayer. And when you see Him, they watched the Passion of the Christ here the other night. In the Passion of the Christ, it's a true depiction of who Jesus was. Because while they're standing there and they're accusing Him and saying, you're going to die if you don't speak up for yourself. He's standing there and He says not a word because the peace of God is all around Him. It's just all around Him. Now here's the key. If you struggle in prayer, you can breeze through the problem, or you can breeze through prayer and you can wrestle with the problem. Let me give you an illustration. Last summer, I did some wrestling in prayer. About 5 or 6 years ago, God began to deal with me to have a personal growth plan to grow me. And so I began very hard and diligently reading books, listening to tapes, and growing me in a growth plan. And so He said, and then I will begin to open doors for you. And I knew He would connect me with some denomination so I could do some traveling and speaking to their organization on leadership and things that God has put in my heart and what He's been teaching me. And so very diligently I began this study and to grow myself. And then after talking to two different denominations, the third one came along and we seemed to click. And I thought, I believe this is it. And I told Jan, I think this is the one that God wants me to join myself to. And so I talked to the superintendent, and he said, you know, we'll bring you in as an elder, and you'll have all the rights, and said what we'd get to do, and he'd open some doors for me to minister and use my gifts. And so one night before we were to be ordained, we were sitting at dinner with he and his wife, Jan and I and he and his wife, and he casually mentioned, we're bringing you in as a candidate instead of an elder. And boy, it just clicked in my spirit. And I knew something, and I said, what? And I said, when we talked, I said, you know, and I felt like, you know, when you've been in the ministry 19 years and you've grown a church, and we've done all this church we have without a denomination, and we've got some stable, secure leaders that know their part and know who they are in Christ, and we're a church. And God said, you're an elder. You're not a candidate for an elder. And I said, I would really have to pray about and see if that would be God's will for me. Now, I could have said, well, that's pride, and I don't want to come in as this or that, but I didn't feel that at all. I just felt like that when I went in a part of this denomination, it would be right. It would be, I'd feel peace about it, feel God's direction. And so I said, I would really have to pray about that. And we had our dinner, and you could tell it really, he kind of began perspirating, you know, and stuff, and because you could really tell that this is a Holy Spirit thing going on in the background, you know. I mean, those when the Spirit's ruffling and things are being done. And so I went home that night and I thought, man, I thought this was it and I don't know. And so I rested. About 4 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up and I began to just pray and intercede and thank God, if this is not it, I don't want to join because I've already talked to two denominations. I don't want to get in a hurry and I don't want to get behind. And so I'm wrestling with this. And it may not seem important to you, but just remember, I've got this word 5 or 6 years ago and I've been praying and growing. And now I know that He's going to do this, and so it's really important that I get to the right one. So it's kind of like not a bad marriage, you know what I'm saying? Bible says he that finds a good wife finds a good thing. How many guys know if you find a wife and it ain't the right one, you just found the thing? And that's what I was thinking. I don't want to just find a thing. I want to find the right one. And so at 4 o'clock I'm praying. I prayed for probably about an hour. And finally the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, you know what? You are an elder and don't go backwards. And that's the word I got. And so the next morning I got up and I called him and I said, you know what? I just really got a piece of my spirit. And here's the deal with me. God said last night, you're an elder in my body and don't go backwards. And if that's a problem with you and your organization, it's probably just God's way of saying, I'm shutting that door and I'll open one somewhere else. And he said, well, Pastor, just keep praying, because he said, I was up to 1 o'clock this morning typing and praying to our bishops. And he said, explaining your situation and what God's done in your ministry and where you are. And he said, I really believe that they'll allow you to come in as an elder. And so he prayed. And here was the thing. You know, in the Free Methodist Church, they are John Wesley is one of their founding heroes, you know. And so I wasn't Wesleyan enough. So they gave him a few Wesley classes, and we did that. Good classes, and one's at Tulsa, and one here in the city, and so they brought me in as an elder. But that was a struggling time of prayer, but I got peace all of a sudden. I got peace in here. That's the key, is when we pray until we get peace of God. Now, let me give you something that the Holy Spirit really showed me this week. I was talking to a very successful businessman this week that lost his daughter. And here's the key I want to give you. He lost his daughter, and we was talking to this man, and he said, you know, he said, I feel like maybe my daughter is hung up somewhere between here and where she's supposed to be in eternity. And I thought, wow, what a tormenting thought for a dad to have. He said, and I feel like God has given me the okay to check out and go help her. Now, this is a bright, intelligent businessman that makes millions of dollars every year. He's given me the okay to check out and go help her because she's hung somewhere. I told him, I said, listen, that's your parental instinct. That's your feeling. You've always been able to protect her. And I said, I want to tell you something. She is not hung up. And here's how I know. Because the Bible said that God loves your daughter more than you love your daughter. I said, in fact, you know what God did for your daughter? He gave his only son for your daughter. He has a son. I said, who would you give your son for? Would you give your son for me if I could live? I said, there's nobody on this planet that I'd give my son for. I said, if it's between me and you and my son and I got to choose, we'll see you later. Huh? Because I'm a loving dad. I'm not sacrificing my child. I might give my life if I could muster up the courage and love that I need to have to do that for you. But I certainly wouldn't look at my son and say, son, you need to go die for these people. Not for the whole room full of you. I just don't have that kind of love for you. I wish I did, but I love my son. There's some bonds and stuff there that I could not look at him and do that. But God did that for your daughter. And I said, I know that God has not told you to check out because he's not the author of confusion. There'll be peace with your answer. Now listen real carefully. This is what he told me. He said, I know. That's why I have a great peace about this checking out. Now what do you say if somebody's talking about checking out and going and checking on their daughter that's crossed over into eternity, and they said, you know, I've got a great peace about it? Well, here's what you say. You say, I can tell you with a surety that that is not God. He said, well, how do I know? The next man that comes in here might agree with me. How do I know that you're any different than him? I said, it's not me or them. I said, here's the difference. It contradicts God's word. God will never contradict his word. I don't care how much peace you have. The Bible says that the devil can come as ministering light, ministering angels. And that's what I thought. He's got torment in there because his daughter's hung, and then he's got this peace to leap out into eternity, you know. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but, you know, he's got some thoughts along. And he's got great peace about it. And the picture I got was like this man that he's walking along on this big, deep lake on thin ice is what he's doing. And I said, I'm telling you, brother, it is not God, because it contradicts God's word, and he's taking care of your daughter. And I won't mention his name because of privacy, but for prayer warriors, just pray for him. Just the man that Jack mentioned Sunday, pray for him that God will reveal the truth that I shared with him and that others will come and reveal truth to him. Because I'm telling you, that is a dangerous place to be. God will never contradict his word. He never will. And so how do you know? How do you pray through? How do you get that peace? You do just like Jesus. You stay on your face. And listen, he's made you intelligent. I don't care if you're a new disciple. He's made you intelligent. You know how to comprehend and hear and process information. And he's obligated himself to talk to you so you can hear him, even if you're just a new disciple. I had one of my new disciples call me yesterday. Where's the Beatitudes? I'm witnessing, man, and I got somebody. I can't find them Beatitudes. I said, well, go to Matthew 5. Okay, thank you. I won't bother you anymore. We're fishing yesterday, Rick and I. But isn't that exciting to see disciples that say, where's that at? I got to take this good stuff and give it to somebody else. That's good stuff, isn't it? Call me. If you need to know where Scripture's, call me. I may not know. We'll look it up if you're trying to dish it out to somebody else. And so that's exciting to me. But that's how you get to know what's God and what's not, is you get real familiar with your Word. Dennis gave a testimony this morning about his son. He's saying how much chemical to use on the lawn to kill this and that. And he says his son gave him this instruction. Dad, read the label. All of us guys, read the label. We only read the label if we can't do anything. If it all else fails, we'll read the label, won't we? You know, you get your kids' Christmas toys. You put everything together and you got four parts left over because you won't read the label. He said, read the label. He said, and the Holy Spirit begins to talk to him. He said, you know what? Read the manual. You want to know what to do for life? Read the label. Read this. This is what we do. And so this will help you in prayer. When you don't know what to do and if it's God's voice, just ask yourself, does it complement the Word? Does it agree with the Word or does it contradict the Word? That's how you'll know. It's God. He'll never contradict His Word. He never will. Listen, ladies, some of you young ladies, you'll see Mr. Charming, Mr. Wright, and he's coming down the sidewalk, and you'll hear Angel go, oh. You'll say, oh, look at him. He's beautiful. This is my husband. And you find out he's lost. He don't know Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? That is not your husband.
Amen.
That's for a lost girl. But I'll win him to Jesus. We'll live happily ever after. Huh? There's a word for that. It's called lust. You're lusting. You're having a fantasy moment, you know. Until he comes to Jesus, you don't give him your heart or nothing else, okay? Not a peck on the cheek, nothing. Because this contradicts God's Word. Not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then, guys, if you see that fishing boat, that gun, that golf set, whatever you like, whatever, you know, pushes your button, it's not God. If you don't have the money to, and you got to go into debt and it's going to stress you out, it's not God. It's that money demon talking to you. You deserve it. Put up with that family all the time. Get it, get it, get it. You'll pay for it somehow. Get it, get it, get it. That'll give you relief from that stressful woman you married. Get it, get it, get it. Huh? Ladies, you go in the mall and there's that outfit. You don't have the money. It's not God. You know, unless you just hold your purse out and say, if you'll just put the money right there, Jesus, I'll buy it. I'll buy it. If you don't put the money in there, don't buy it. If you don't have the money, if you do, just buy it and say, ain't God good? And just look good, you know? But I'm telling you, he'll not contradict his Word. He won't stress you out, is what I'm saying. You don't have to pray about stuff that contradicts his Word, because he won't. The answer is no. It's no. But here's the key, and I want us to get to the place where, you know what, when we're going through stressful situations, learn that it's just easier to wrestle with God than it is with man and problems. Because God is fair, he's just, he's for you. He's for us. And so he wants to give us good stuff and get that answer. In fact, I believe you need a word of knowledge and you need a word of wisdom. It's what we need when we're going through these things. That's what Jesus did. He's got a word of knowledge. It's not going to pass. And then he got a word of wisdom. You just go, son, and you walk in peace. Don't say anything. And that's what he did. Did he go through the trial? Yes. Will we endure afflictions as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Yes. But the battle needs to be out here. It don't need to be in here. Have you ever seen anybody, and you know them, and you know they're going through this big, huge battle, and you see them, and you say, how are you doing? They say, I'm doing great. And you know they're just going through all kinds of hell, you know, and you say, no, really, really, how are you doing? They say, really, I'm doing good. How are you doing? And then we think, oh, they're in denial. They're going over the edge. You know? And they could be, I'm not trying to make light of that, but it could be, they've heard from Jesus. They've heard from not the great I was, the great I used to be, the great I could. They've heard from the great I am. And they're just walking in peace. And you're stressing out because you're stressing out for them. Because they're not stressing out. And they've already heard from the great I am. How many knows He's still the great I am? You can walk in peace when all hell is breaking loose around you if you go to God and pray until you pray and get the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. And it may be yes, it may be no, but it'll be something that will help you through. Just like I got the answer, don't go backwards. You're an elder in my kingdom. Don't settle for less. Don't go backwards. I was at peace with that. I got up and walked in that, and then God worked it out. I didn't try to push anything. I didn't try to make anything happen, and it just worked out. Huh? Pray until you get the answer, until you hear from Jesus. Maybe it's happened to you. Think about it for just a minute. You ever had all hell breaking loose around you, and you just had peace? Yeah. You know what? You got the answer. And it was one time you got the answer. And maybe you even surprised yourself. Maybe you're even saying, you know, used to I just stress out. This is pretty cool. I don't know why I'm not stressing, but I just got a peace that Jesus has given me. Well, you prayed, and God says, just here, enjoy this peace. Try this on. Walk in this. I think we can do that in every situation if we'll wrestle in prayer. Take time to wrestle in prayer till we get an answer instead of trying to wrestle with a problem. Here's what really sparked this message, and I want to give you the second. Remember, we talked about last week when you pray, until you pray and get an answer, then you can get up and trust God. Remember that? Well, turn with me to Matthew, the 26th chapter. I want to show you something. And I believe Jesus put this in here for a reason. I really do. You know, He didn't have to say this at all, but He did. And I want to show you something that the Holy Spirit gave me that's really powerful. And here's what we do, and we have to be really careful not to manipulate. Matthew, the 26th chapter, and verse 53. Actually, if you want to, we'll just back up a verse or two in here. Go up to about verse 50 in Matthew 26:50, because it kind of shows you what's going on around. It says, "But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come?" And he's talking to Judas and the mob that's come to take him. And this is after he said it's enough. He's up now and he's trusting God. He says, "Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." We all know who that was. That was the old fisherman, Peter, and he's trying to cut the guy's head off, and luckily he dodges and he gets his ear, and Jesus has to heal and repair the ear. And so he says, "But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." Do you get that? All who take the sword will perish by the sword. In other words, if you want to fight your battles in the flesh, you can, but you'll perish in the flesh. You can use a sword or you can use this sword. You can use your sword or this sword, but you can't use both. And that's what he's telling us. Now watch what he told them. He says in verse 53, "Or do you think that I cannot now pray and my Father, and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" He will provide me with thousands of angels. I could pray that prayer now, and He would provide me with thousands of angels. I could pray that prayer, Jesus said, now, and not have to go to the cross, and He would provide me with thousands of angels. And here's what the Holy Spirit gave me. You and I have ministering angels. And then we have those flesh angels, if you want to call them that. In other words, if you're getting ready, you feel it's coming, I don't know what the issue is, but it's a mess around you and you're fixing to walk through something. And from it, and I'm not so sure he wouldn't send delivering angels. Jesus said he could pray. I could pray right now and he'd deliver me from it. But if it's not God's will and you do pray through with a pure heart even, and you pray ministering angels and you avoid that, you have avoided God's will and God has made intercession and given you ministering angels and you've missed the will of God. You've just lost your crown. Remember, if you don't keep the cross, you can't keep your crown. Now, here's what I really feel like the Holy Spirit gave to me. And here's what we do. Sometimes our ministering angels are different things that and talents that God has given to us. For instance, if we're, you know, I'm a communicator, and I take the Word and try to communicate that to people and take leadership lessons and try to communicate that to people, and that's what I do. That's one of the gifts God gave me. And so what I'm kind of, you know, have been working on and crafting is my ability to speak and to bring an argument for whatever it is that I'm presenting. And so if we get in an argument, and all of you that's part of your gift is communication, one of the things that we have, if we're going through this thing and we don't want to, then we'll use verbal skills to try to manipulate. And we'll call upon those gifts that God's given us to try to manipulate and rearrange the situation where we don't have to go through whatever it is. I can talk. You ever heard anybody say or said yourself, I can talk my way out of this? What you mean is I can manipulate my way out. And then for some, maybe it's temper tantrums. You know that if your family's going to come against you and get an attitude, and maybe rightfully so, but you say, you know what? I can call for my temper tantrum, and they'll just kind of back up. I won't have to go through all that. That's your ministering angel. You see it sometimes on television where athletes have millions and millions of dollars and they go out and they commit some kind of a rape or abuse of some kind or drugs and, you know, and they lay the money down and I can buy my way out of this. I have the money. That's their ministering angel. That's their intercessor. Instead of going through and being a man or a woman of God, this is my ministering angel. And we have to be really careful. Because Jesus said, I can do that if I want to. I can pray and I can manipulate the system, you know, and God would send me because God is honoring His prayer. God is honoring prayer, the prayer of faith. And Jesus knew how to pray the prayer of faith and He'd send ministering. It could happen. And I think He wanted His guys to know that because they'd put their sword up. I could do this if I wanted. I don't want to, so put your sword up. And I'm telling you, church, this is a huge key. Sometimes God's wanting us to go through, and we're calling on all these things to help us to avoid what God's saying. No, I don't want you to come in. I want you to go through this one. Back in the late 80s, I got behind on taxes. I've always kind of worked for myself and been self-employed, and I got behind on the building industry went down, and I had a choice to either move out of state or stay here and start a church, and so I started our church, and but boy, did I need to go and really make some money because I'd got behind on taxes and stuff, and so I thought, well, maybe they'll just go away. I can just pray and God will just, they'll lose my records or something. He'll bless. He'll send somebody. He'll do something. You know, if I'll just pray the prayer of faith, and God will forgive me of my stupidity and my, you know, spending the government's money. He'll just forgive all that. Well, it wobbled along for a while, and then about 10 years into it, I got a letter and said, "We're coming over to your house if you don't pay up." And I thought, wonder what they're going to get. If it's just my children, I'll see them in heaven. No, I didn't say that. I was stressing. That's what I was doing. And you know what I had to do? I had to get back in the saddle, and I had to go, and God gave me two people, because I didn't, my credit wasn't good, and this, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so I went to two people that God sent me to, and I said, I just feel like God has sent me to you, and your answer, whatever it is, I'll love you just like I love you right now, and I'll never bring it up again, but I got this debt, and I've got a tax guy, and I've got this cut in half, but it's still almost 20 grand. And I said, if you feel that God wants you to help me to loan me this, I'll give you 10% on your money, so it's not a gift. And I said, but all I have is basically my signature. And if you don't do it, I don't blame you at all. But I was in prayer, and this is what I feel led to do. But I love you, and I'll never bring it up again. And I hope that you don't feel obligated because of this. If it's not God, just tell me no, and we'll be. And both of them said, well, yeah, we can do that. How much you need? I said, well, whatever you want. And one of them gave one this, and one of them gave the other. And I paid one off in 2 years, one off in 4 years at 10% interest. And it's like, well, what else you need, Pastor? Anything else? Well, there's stuff, but it's not God, you know. And so God says, I'm not delivering you from that. You've made that mess. You should have given it here, and you should have paid your quarterlies. And so I just paid my quarterly taxes just better. Because God didn't deliver me. He may have delivered you, but He didn't me. He just made me go through that one because that was something I created. He said, if you're going to stand up and preach integrity, you got to live integrity. You can't go around trying to, you know, make somebody else pay all your bills if you're going to stand up in front of people. And so, I just feel like this. There's all kinds of things we can do. Some of you are really good at lying. You can just lie and nobody ever knows because you're so good at it. But let me tell you, there's one person that knows, and that's God the Father. And you'll stand and give an account for Him. And every lie is recorded. And the only way to get that record right is to repent and never do it again and turn from it. And just take the consequences. It's the only way you can do it. You can lie and everybody around you believe you, but God knows. And you'll never make it right. And you'll never have the peace that God wants you to have. Living lies. Just be honest. And come clean. And then the last thing we talked about was this, is doing God's will. Remember? So we're going to pray until we pray through and get the answer, and then we're going to get up and trust. We're going to just trust God and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm not calling for no ministering angels. I'm not calling on manipulation. I'm not calling on verbal skills. I'm just going to face the consequences, and I'm going to go through this and get it washed. How many knows it's good to lay down at night with nothing on your conscience? You got a clean plate. You got just a clean slate laying there. You know, it's good to lay down and then get up in the morning and say, God, you are so good. And so, doing God's will. Listen, sometimes it's really hard. And I know, parents, let me give you something. There's three things here I want to give you, and then we'll close. The first thing is parenting. Sometimes it is so hard, isn't it, to know how to help your kids. It is so hard. One of the most difficult things I think that we have as parents is knowing how much to give our kids and how much not to give them. How much to help them and how much not to help them. I think that's one of the most difficult things because we see needs in their life and then we hurt for them. But we know if I keep feeding the giant, you know, keep feeding the thing, it's not going to heal. And so to me, that's one of the greatest things, hardest things there is how much do I help and how much discipline and how much is enough. But listen, parents, get on your face before God. And say, God, here's the problem as I see it. Now tell me how the problem and the solution is as you see it. And stay there until you get an answer. And then get up with peace in your heart and begin to identify with this discipline. And say, this is what I really feel we're going to do. And don't back up from it. I got an email. I think it was Judy McGarry sent me this email the other day. And I just sat there and cracked up. It's about a lady. And she said, you know, it's spanking versus other types of discipline. And said, you know, it's a real controversy now about spanking your children. How many knows God said you spare the rod, you spoil the child? But she says, now here's a creative thought, and I thought I'd pass it on you. It works for me and my nephew. He said he's a rambunctious little fella. He gets out of line sometimes, and she said, so what I do instead of spanking him, I take him for a car ride. And said he just kind of soothes him and calms him down, and it really works for us. And she said, and by the way, for all you parents that don't know, I've included a picture. And here's the picture she showed of her car ride with her nephew. And she said it just really is soothing and it works for him. We got that back there? Isn't that terrible bad, Pastor Matt? You know, but I thought that was so funny. It's just amazing what a car ride would do for a kid, you know. Out in the country, you know, away from everybody. And then we'll put the disclaimer, do not try this at home. You know, you will be called immediately to, you know. Okay, take that off. We can't even preach with that. But let me tell you what you can do. Stay down there on your knees until you get an answer from God. Because I'm telling you, He has the answer for your children. He created them. He made them. He gave them their personality. And He knows what it's going to take to make them click. Just stay and pray until you get a word of knowledge and you get a word of wisdom. Say, God, I'm not leaving this altar. I've fought it. And all you're saying is, I want the battle to be out here. I don't want it in here no more. And what happens, here's the alternative, parents. If we don't get peace in here and get direction from God in here, we're going to rage just like they do. And we're going to say stuff like, I told you to get your room clean. I wish for one time you would just clean your room. And all they see is a raging maniac that's supposed to be in charge of them. I saw on the news this week, and I felt sorry for the kid, but his mother had rented a limo for his prom. You know, and I felt sorry for him because, you know, the limo service went out or something, and they didn't. Here the mother said she was just stressed out over a limo for her son that's graduating, and he said, it's just really going to just put a bad thing on my whole high school years and all that. I said, God, grow up. Good Lord. But you know who initiates that? We do. Our children see the peace of God or the hell that's breaking loose initiated by what we do. We take the lead and God tells us accountable. And so we, as parents, if we'll get on our knees and find the peace and power of God, we can pass that on to our children. And the battle may rage out here, but you'll get you an answer and you'll say, you know what? This is not going to hurt me more than it does you. Trust me. I've got peace. Remember the song Caden sang, Going Down the Lazy River? I've had so many people sing that back to me. This last summer we were down at the water park, Whitewater, and we, the last day of our vacation, and we said, well, come on, we'll go back home a day early and we'll just go out there and chill out so we'll be home, we'll have to travel. On his back in this lazy river, probably Miss Joe and Donna's taught him this song, you know, he's got a floater on and he's going down the lazy river, and to the top of his lungs he's saying, I got fish, walk a river, I got fish, walk a river, I got fish, walk a river in my soul. And people are walking around. He don't care. He's got peace, walk a river. And he's just floating. I thought, you know, thank God somebody put songs like that in him, you know? And taught him that there's peace like a river that comes from heaven above. And I'm telling you, that same peace and that same Jesus that Caden serves, we serve. And he wants to give us that. Maybe it's a relationship issue you have with a family member. I'm telling you, don't let that battle rage in here forever. Don't do it. Get down on your knees at the altar and pray until you can trust God, till you get a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. Now, I know some relationships won't be restored because it takes two. And they may just refuse to be restored. But I'm telling you, you can have peace on your side. When Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. This is not of God. He didn't just rant and rave. He just made the statement. Because of his peace in him, he just knew it wasn't of God. And he gave this rebuke and went right on with his ministry. Went right on loving Peter. But he had to identify the problem. And so, you know, if it's a relationship thing, don't carry that around in your heart and mind forever. You don't have to do that. Get your word of knowledge and let God say, this is what I want you to tell him. I want you to go and apologize. And you'll think, first thing you'll think is, well, it's not my fault. That's your flesh. If you've got something in your heart, you're something conflict between a brother, sister, a loved one in your life, a friend, you know what? It is your fault. You've hurt them or done something. You may not have aimed to, but there's fault there. And you restore by saying, you know what? Forgive me. I've upset you. I've made you mad. I don't know why, or maybe you do know why, but you just go and you say, you know, you just use stuff Jesus would use. Humble and resisting the devil and use it. But find what he wants you to do at the altar. And then get up and go give it away. It works. It still works. It's still working today. Maybe it's bad habits. Every day you fight pornography. Maybe every day you fight unclean thoughts in your head. Like, where does these thoughts come from? I don't want these anymore. You know, whatever it is. Maybe it's overspending. You fight it every day. Maybe it's a bad habit that you want to give up. What is it? There's something maybe inside of you, some kind of a habit that you should say, you know, I just don't want this anymore. You know? Maybe it's overeating. You just struggle with it every day. You just get up and food is an issue every day. You know, there's all kinds of problems that the devil will throw at us and fight with us. What is it? My argument this morning in closing is this. Why don't we just go down to the altar and kill it? Say, God, I'm coming to the cross. He said, if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you won't find life in that area. And so the only way to find life is to say, I've got to kill the flesh. And you just stay down at the cross and deny the flesh until you get peace and relief, until you get deliverance, until you get what you need. And tell him, I don't know how long it'll take, but I'm just going to stay down here on my knees. When I was a baby Christian, I'll never forget this, I was praying down on my knees, and I got so burdened for my family to come to Jesus Christ, because I thought, man, it hit me one day. My whole family that don't know Jesus Christ, every person that don't know Christ as their Savior is going to hell. I couldn't stand that as a new Christian. So I hit that altar every day. And for weeks, that's all I could pray, is God, my family's going to hell. You got to help them. You got to help me help them. I don't know how to reach them. I don't know enough word, but I know they're going to hell. And an evangelist came to our church and held a revival. And the evangelist looked out in the crowd and said, young man, you've been praying for your loved ones. And God said to tell you that to quit stressing and quit worrying about them. Just keep praying. He's going to bring them to, he's going to bring them to himself, and they're going to be saved. Didn't even know me. How many knows God knew me? God knew who I was. He knew what I've been praying every day. And man, you talk about rivers of tears and woo, thank you, Lord, you know, and this is like a big burden lifted off of me. So I just pray with confidence now, and they have one by one just coming to Jesus Christ. But you gotta pray till you hear from God. Let's be people that says, I'm gonna wrestle in prayer. I'm gonna get upset, but I'm gonna get upset in prayer. And I'm gonna thrash and cry and yell and whatever I gotta do and whatever I used to do with my problems, I'm gonna take it to prayer now. And then I'm gonna walk in peace in my problems. I'm not gonna be in denial, I'm not gonna be, you know, gloating or proud, or I'm just gonna walk in peace because I put my time in prayer. I really believe we can do that and have that if we just stay in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us, Lord, that we can have the same kind of peace that Jesus Christ had when all the world was against him on that day. When he knew that he was going to a cross, and he knew for the first time ever he would be separated from you because of sin that he took upon himself that belonged to us. Yet he had such a peace because he knew that you were in the midst of this trial. He knew that he wasn't being delivered. He knew that he was going to face this trial. And yet he had peace. He didn't lash out. He didn't speak out. In fact, he said, he reached out to the one thief and he said, this day shall you be with me in paradise. He reached out to his accusers and said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He reached out to his mother and ministered to his mother because the peace of God was in his heart. Simply because he had spent time agonizing in prayer and wrestled in prayer until the answer came. Teach us how to do that. Teach us how to stay on our knees. Give us right desires in this area, and then give us discipline so that when we get up, even though we're going through this horrendous trial, we'll have a peace like a river in our souls. And the world will truly know that there's a God in heaven because he's alive in us, and they can see the peace of God that passes understanding all over us, all in us and through us. Help us, God. And God, I pray that you'll forgive us for calling on ministering angels and calling on using skills and talents and bad manners, whatever we've used to manipulate, when all the time you said, I want you to go through for my glory. And help us, God, to go through when it's you. And to discern the difference so we'll know that this is you, and you can give us peace and we'll go through and we'll fight a battle and a trial with peace and we'll come through it better. We'll come through it and we'll be able to help somebody else go through it because we've been through it. And we can explain the peace of God that passes understanding. We can help them and be a light to them. Help us, God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.